When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
When she's like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Do we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. Yeah. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Baddies.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and are listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. I'm your host, Nicole Weaver, and we are here to talk The Ultimatum Queer Love Season 2. And for this series, I have back Quita Tinsley. Hi, Quita.
Hey there. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. How has this Pride 2025 been for you?
No, I'm feeling every bit of 30-something. Celebrating Pride can't go as hard on all the Pride activities, but I'm super proud to be out and gay in these times.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling blessed by Netflix giving us 7 episodes of
7.
The Girls' Name.
I could have stretched out the season longer. I was like, we're doing 2 and then we got the reunion, which honestly I think they usually do for the ultimatum, but I'm just like, wow, we could have spent a little more time digesting everything. But what was your first impressions of this cast before we get deep in?
Ooh. Well, the initial just like name and age drop, I was a little like, ooh, everybody's under 30, which I know Love is Blind fans were like, ooh, I don't know, something about when people are like in their mid-20s and we're talking about getting married. Mm-hmm. It gets real unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
And first episode meeting everyone, I'm like, yes, we are in the chaos zone.
Yeah. Honestly, though, I kind of feel like it's fitting just because still society-wise, there's that pressure to get married almost before 30. Even if you don't, you're just starting to consider of like, this feels what adults do. And if I'm a relationship at this age, isn't that what I should be doing?
So I'm like, y'all, you're 25 and y'all been dating for a year.
But then we have a 10-year age. Ooh. Which is like a whole other thing. So I'm excited. We do have Joanna Garcia Swisher back as our host, and the queers are not feeling it. But how are you feeling about this, Quita?
She's nice. I'm not feeling it. I want someone who's like super queer. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know her life like that, but mm-hmm. she's like sitting up there talking about her husband. I'm just like,
Yeah. And like talking about her husband and baby when multiple people in this cast is talking about going no contact with their family and how that affects their decision on whether they want to get married or not.
Literally,
and it's like,
literally. And she's like, my nuclear family.
girl, not the time or place, but she's there to collect that check, I guess. Going into it, I mean, all right, so we have Bridget and Kyle here. Bridget and Kyle have been together 2.5 years. What did you think of this couple just off rip?
Off rip, I was like, it's giving Brooklyn. I feel like I'm
yeah.
giving Brooklyn, but they seem cute and sweet. I think it's always interesting to me, the dynamics of people's relationships around the ultimatum, because mm-hmm. it's like Kyle is giving the ultimatum, but they clearly don't want to be here, kind of type, you know, I'm just like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. They seem to be the introvert, even though they're like yeah. Leo and Bridget's yeah, Aquarius. Like, it's very yeah. interesting.
Very. Also, as a fellow Aquarian, Bridget. Yeah. The first episode I did a watch party with friends, and my best friend was just like, peak Aquarian, just like yapping. Like, I love
yapping, intelligent, beat of like her own drum. I'm loving the hair. It's very interesting that Bridget actually made a TikTok apologizing for the hair, because they were like in Miami and she was like, that's not how I wanted to look. They're super tight because the humidity. And it's like, curly hair is supposed to be in humid weather. I'm sorry. Like, that's
when they thrive.
They are thriving. There's nothing to apologize for. I was living, though, when they were dating the same person. Pilar was hitting it off with both of them and had the tough time in choosing. And it was very interesting because Pilar apparently is very similar to Bridget. Therefore, their connection would have been like, okay, what's a relationship like when I'm with someone else who's similar? We're doing a lot of things and kind of all over the place. And with Kyle, it's almost recreating the connection that she has with Bridget. And yeah, but Pilar ends up going with Kyle. Do you think that was the right decision?
No, I don't think so. I think, the queer ultimatum pipeline to couple to throuple needs to be a thing. Because I feel like there's always some situation in the dating phase where it's like, should we just all date each other? Mm-hmm. Like, when like Kyle and Bridget were both dating Pilar, I'm like, so y'all should just be a throuple for the 3 weeks? Like,
for real.
Yeah, Pilar went with Kyle, or like they chose each other, I think, because of the familiarity of their dynamic, right? But I'm like, I think the shakeup would have been like Pilar and Bridget being together, and like Absolutely. Two people who are similar in a relationship, if they know in their like original partnerships, they had a similar dynamic of like a partner who's a bit more grounded and a partner who's a bit more spontaneous. Yeah.
It's very interesting. I guess like Bridget kind of gives the more extrovert person in this dynamic. So maybe Bridget was like, oh, I can make it work. Well, first of all, at the last minute, she was scrounging to make something work because she thought that AJ was feeling her, only to find out that AJ, the Libra,
has feeling everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone. I was like, what is this? Pokemon? Like, AJ, what is the strategy?
The strategy was, I can somehow picture myself making it work with anybody here, and that is giving a little bit of Libra. Bridget did not like that. She's like, I invested so much freaking time and energy into this when I could have been dating around, which honestly, maybe everyone needs the AJ energy.
Yes.
AJ was spreading those eggs around, but everyone was like hyper focusing.
Right. It's like kind of like it felt like AJ was really opening herself up to the polyness of it all, and everybody else was going very monogamously, like, oh, I connect with this person, I like them, I'm gonna go heavy on doing these dates with them, versus being like, no, let me get to know people equally. I will say I do understand why Bridget would get annoyed. Mm-hmm. Around some of the things, like if similar things are happening across dates, then it is kind of like, AJ, are these unique experiences, or are you like pitching yourself like a sales pitch?
Yeah. In some ways, people were asking AJ to pitch herself, like the freaking Marita. I don't know what was going on there, but she's literally like, so what's the most romantic thing you've ever done? And of course, AJ is talking about the most romantic thing she's done with her partner of 5 years. Okay.
Yes.
You're not getting that as someone who's just living with AJ for 3 weeks. But I think Marita's such like, she's in a huge need of romance that she just fell into it and was just like, this is it. This is my person.
Yeah. But I'm curious where Marita and Ashley are from, because it was also kind of giving like, clearly Marita is like desiring something bigger than like what she's currently living in. Like, she was naming her job, her partnership, you know, and I think AJ was telling her clearly what she wanted to hear and she went along with it. Because also a part of that, like when AJ was talking about the most romantic thing she's done, it was how she got in a relationship mm-hmm. with her partner, you know? So I'm like, what's a recent romantic thing that you've mm-hmm. done? Would have been a good question for Marita to follow up with. But she was just like so swept away and like the sweetness of it all.
Well, that was wild. But I was all for Bridget not getting too down in the dumps, making something shake. She ended up making a connection with Ashley, who was with Marita. Now, Ashley's whole thing is that she is about acts of service. This seems to be like a love language thing where Marita's like, I need romance in order to like be happy. She flat out said, if I feel empty in this empty.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not a good sign at all that we're starting off by saying such words as I'm feeling empty in this relationship.
Yeah. It's like the ultimatum is always this interesting thing. Cause it's like, y'all, instead of coming here, you could just break up off camera without us involved. That's always an option. You know, it's just, that's when I start being like, y'all are too young. You're saying you feel empty and you're in your mid-20s. Y'all can amicably be like, this isn't working. This has been great. Thank mm-hmm. you for the time we've shared. And move on. Mm-hmm. You know? It's like the holding on so tightly, but then being like, I feel empty in this relationship.
But then it's like, Marita's not complaining about anything else. It's literally the romance. So I almost kind of see why she would stay in a relationship of like, if everything's good, then why can't I just get romance? And Ashley's like, I'm naturally this way. And you're not saying I'm falling behind in any other department. So why don't you see and feel the love in this situation?
Yeah.
I feel like Marita's a little dramatic.
She might be, but I think as someone who's like a drama queen sometimes in relationships, I'm like, if you're wanting more and this person that you're with is like, I think what I'm giving you is more than enough and mm-hmm. they don't want to meet you, then peace and be with God. You know?
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you want more, that's perfectly valid. Like,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Or like, not dramatic. I think it's their age difference. So Ashley's mm-hmm. 30 and Marita's 25.
Yeah.
So, and Marita also said something of like, okay, like, but I don't want to get to a place where it's like roommates, or maybe honestly it was Bridget and her kind of both seem of like mm-hmm. I don't want to be tied down yet, I'm about having fun, da, da, da. But it's like, if you're not boring people in general, then your marriage isn't going to be boring. But they have like this kind of old school mentality of what marriage means.
Yeah, I think there's that. And I think they do feel like some parts of their relationships are already boring, right? Mm-hmm. And like, that's the truth, you know, like, so I'm like, they're missing something. And they're like, if we get married,
yeah,
is it going to be even more of this? Like, is it just going to be like years of this plus worse?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think, honestly, I think sometimes life is boring. I think when you get older, you kind of like accept that.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, maybe marriage isn't for you if you are like almost constantly needing like a very specific kind of excitement. It's just like you're going through life together. Sometimes things are exciting and sometimes you're going through the day of work, dinner, sleep for a little bit.
And it's important to find people who match you, right? So it's like, if you have a high appetite for adventure, like excitement, then you have to find somebody who meets you at your bare minimum. And it feels like they're at people who aren't even meeting their bare minimum of excitement, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, again, in Marita's case, I'm like, you're young enough to be cultivating excitement and adventure for yourself. Absolutely. Without having to rely on your partner for that. And if Ashley don't want to do those things with you, then.
Yeah. You Now, what did you think at the choice ceremony where Marita's laying it on thick when it comes to AJ? Bridget is chewing out AJ of like, you are saying all these things. AJ is trying to push back and Bridget's like, let me get specific then, since you want to try to say, oh, this is like normal and everything. Right. I think Marita still thought she had it in the bag. And then AJ goes and chews Marie.
Yeah. I think AJ was like very much so trying to get to know everyone and like could see themselves dating anyone. But also a part of me is curious, the diversity of the cast, it might not mean that there are people in the cast who are your typical type. And so Brittany was the only Black femme, right? And she was AJ's partner. Could it have been that like AJ's ideal type wasn't there? And so she was like finding things about a few people she could like, you know? I mean, we aren't at that place of talking about that yet. And she might not feel comfortable talking about that if that was the case. But I'm always curious. I'm like, with only one Black femme, and that was her partner, were there other people involved in the cast that AJ would have dated? Because I'm like, Marita, she might not date white people, but is that something you're going to talk about explicitly? No, you know,
that's what I thought when she went for Marie. I was like, she probably went for the girly pop that was like actually a woman of color, because that's who she dates. And then I also can't help but think about how like misogynoir happens in even the queer community, and like Black women off rip can be masculinized. So almost every time it's like the Black mask are like the most sought after in these situations where the Black femme is not. It's almost left in the dust. And then it really kind of irked me, because all Marita could talk about was wanting to be romanced. She ends up getting with AJ's partner, Brittany, instead. And now Brittany's talking about, well, I'll bring out my inner daddy and like romance. Like, no. Why? Why do you have to step into that role just because that's Marita's begging for? What do you want from this trial marriage? Right.
Exactly. What are you needing, desiring? How can Marita exercise showing up in a different way in a partnership and not just you catering to her in this dynamic?
To be fair, later on when they're like really in the trial marriage, they're giving each other flowers, so it seems mutual.
Yes.
But when they had their little date with the salad, and
oh my gosh,
Brittany's like, let me put on the salad dressing for you. Brittany's like, oh my god. I was like, this is the least gay interaction this whole season. These are two femmes who want absolutely nothing to do with each other, so they're trying to make a salad into like a cutesy romance thing.
Right. I'm also curious if Bridget, if AJ was actually very into Bridget too, and Bridget kind of like blowing up their spot at the choice, you know?
Yeah.
If that also they were like, oh well, I'm gonna choose Marie.
That's very possible. I mean, they had that date, which I guess was going well, and then AJ talking about the things her mama would have said to her, referring to their hypothetical bedroom life.
Literally. My friends and I had to like rewind to be like, did we hear that correctly? Boundaries.
Apparently there's a lack thereof, and we didn't get to see AJ's mama. I kind of wish we did.
Because I'm like, do they see their family with their original partners too?
It's possible we just didn't see everyone, but there were a lot of like friends.
We
saw. I know we saw Kyle's family, which was so cute. Kyle comes from a married couple of like so many years, and they're like so conflict avoidant. So they talked about how that showed in Kyle.
Oh, I love that they were very self-aware about it, though. And like,
I liked that too. Yeah, what did you think of Kyle and Pilar then, since we just mentioned them? I mean, they were comfy. They were cuddling off rip, and it seemed like that cuddling, Pilar was like, I think, ready to go in deeper. There was a kissing incident that led to some conversation and communication. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like Kyle clearly was ridden with a lot of guilt about physical interactions with someone else. And I think while there was a lot of attraction to Pilar, like including physical attraction, and they were clearly into Pilar, but I think they did not want to do anything that could damage their relationship with Bridget. Mm-hmm. And being conflict avoidant, I'm sure they were trying to like give Pilar signs, but was clearly probably so attracted to Pilar. And they just needed to have like an honest conversation that unfortunately did not happen until after Pilar made a move that Kyle ended up being uncomfortable with. And then they could just talk about it openly, because Kyle had been like alluding to it, being like, you don't feel like, it doesn't seem like you're having a hard time. And it's like, don't project, just say your own feelings. I'm having a really hard time with this, and I'm feeling a lot of guilt, even though I want to cuddle you and I feel I want to kiss you, but I don't want to do that to damage my relationship.
I think that probably was like the truth of it. I don't dislike Pilar or Kyle after that whole situation. I know people are probably like, project their own things. I get, like, I did wince when Pilar was like, it takes two to tango.
Yeah, it was rough, like, choice of words.
But then it's like, I also think of like, Pilar's also a woman of color in this situation. And she's like, I know you not gonna act like I'm just the only one pushing up on you, when like this has been like a mutual thing, and like we need to talk about what are the boundaries then and reassess. And after that, Kyle's like, I'm gonna sleep over here. You see, eventually they get back into that same bed before the trial marriage is over. So even that didn't last very long. It's like they have a connection, but I think at the end of it, Kyle literally does want to end this with Bridget.
Exactly. And she's gonna do whatever she needs, you know. It's like she's not gonna cross any boundaries that could compromise them getting back together.
I think the people who, almost most of the couples who end up hooking up with someone else, the other person is also doing the same. Like Pilar, like I almost forget Pilar came in this with Haley, because that's how in, like, Haley's been in it with her trial partner, but like obviously Haley's doing her thing, Pilar's doing this thing. So with Kyle even having that judgment against Pilar, who Haley and Pilar have been in this for 10 years, it's like chill out, because Haley's not gonna lose her top over this,
period. You know, I was just like, I wish, because the ultimate is so interesting to me, because I'm like, y'all, you're agreeing for your partner to be partnered with someone else for 3 weeks. Y'all need to be having some real honest conversations about boundaries and being clear with each other, versus just kind of being like, ooh, or not talking about it at all. Because I'm like, a lot of these people be willing and open to do things with other people. So it's like, if you want to be able to do things with people, you need to be clear about that in your partnership, so y'all can be on the same type of time, because a lot of them be on the same type of time, but they don't want to explicitly say so, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's when Haley and Pilar get back together, it doesn't sound like they crossed any boundaries they weren't willing to cross. No. It's just uneven now, because like Pilar was trying to do her big one, got shut down, where Haley was able to freely move forward, catch feelings. Now, going back to like Haley and Pilar's original relationship. So they've been together 10 years since Pilar was 18 in high school. This is the first and only woman she's ever been with.
And it was the same for Haley too. Pilar says that. For both of them, this is their first relationship, lesbian relationship.
Okay, yeah. And for Pilar, it's her parents, her family aren't approving. So it's been like, they also were in the closet for 8 years and now she has no contact. And the big thing about her being avoidant to marriage is, if I get married, my family's not going to be there. And it almost feels like you're accepting of letting go of this, which really resonates to me. I'm no contact with like a lot of family because of me coming out. So yeah, I felt that deeply with her and Megan. Not that Megan has gone no contact, but then there was someone else who also went no contact. I was like, geez, there's a lot of girlies here who are going through that experience.
Yeah. And I think it was really sad in Pilar's case because she's no contact, not of her own choice, but it's like her parents are choosing. You know, I think it's one thing as like a queer trans person from a empowered place, you choose not to speak to your family, but you know, your family choosing not to talk to you because of your queerness. I'm just like, oh, I just want like Pilar to have like queer community and chosen family to flank her, you know. And I'm like, I support you being a city girl. Be out in these streets, like date around, like explore your queerness.
Like if Pilar and Haley do not end up together, I think that will be like the upside. It's like Bridget and Kyle aren't the only options out there. And obviously you can find new people, like you're a hot girl. It was just not going to be those two, because those two I think are really into each other.
Right. It's like Kyle liked you probably because you reminded Kyle of Bridget. You know,
like... Now for the Haley of it all. Ooh, Haley gets with Megan. And okay, I'm going to say this, Quita. This might be my favorite season of the ultimatum across all sexualities, everything we had, just because of how much I'm into Haley and Megan.
Loki, I want them to be together. Clearly. And this is a Taurus for Taurus relationship.
Yep.
So I'm like, they are locked in the bed. That moment where Megan's feeding Haley popcorn, I'm like, oh, they are locked in.
So in such a huge, huge difference, because if we want to remember, Megan came in this with Dana.
Yes.
Dana is so into doing this experience. Megan was ready to go. They have been together 1.5 years. Dana's like, nah, let's stay. Wait, Dana's her job is relationship manager. What the heck does that mean?
Maybe like a customer relationship manager, or like not a CRM, but like, you know, like might be managing client relationships. You're like, I hope not romantic.
Like, that's not relationship coach. So maybe there's hope, but a relationship manager is wild. Dana is a Gemini and she gave the ultimatum to Megan, which is so wild based on her behavior later. Megan's like, yeah, I have social anxiety. I feel like she was just an anxiety babe in the beginning. And then she ended up clicking with Haley, and I had no clue these two would be so steamy and like kind of on the same page.
Slow burners. They were slow, you know. I'm like, they seem to be connecting from like a sweet place. It seemed like Haley was providing space for Megan to kind of process the things that were happening. And it's like the Taurus for Taurus, once they got in their apartment and their little home in their bed, cozying up, I'm sure having deep emotional conversations, they were slow burners. And oh, did it get steamy?
The slow burn is what you gotta be careful of. Cause honestly, I think with the whole Dana and Mel thing, that's physical. That's physical. It's a whole other level what Megan and freaking Haley are up to. And so Megan, she is Lebanese Arabian. So her family, she's like, no one's out in this culture. We respect our elders in a specific type of way. Dana's like, I need you to stand up to your family. And what I low-key think from what we see everything with Megan and Haley and how she starts talking about her family, she's probably willing to step up for her family, but not for Dana. Dana was not going to be the reason she's going to risk it all. But now we got Haley, and we might have to have some hard conversations.
Clearly. Wow. The way that they were with it was it with Haley's friends?
Yes,
right? They were just like
sisters, I think, right?
Because there we go. Yes.
They were flat out like, you could tell they're conflicted because they're like, oh my God, yes. At this point, Pilar is like our sister.
Right.
But then yes. You're really happy with this woman, Megan, and we love you. We're going to be supportive, but like, we're going to grieve. This is a long 10-year relationship. And even for Pilar of like being disowned by her family, and this was like her family in a way, like, this is going to be so emotionally complicated and messy for multiple reasons.
It is. You're right. It was Haley's sister, her niece, and her dad. You're right. And you could tell, like, her niece started crying, right? Because she's like, I really like you, Megan. And she says it, I really like y'all's dynamic, but I love Pilar. And she's like family to me. Yeah. And Haley's sister. And the dad seemed like, the like little spinning emoji, like it was a lot to take in, which I don't know all the things that were happening, but I'm sure it could feel like a lot to know your family member and their relationship where they seem happy, loving, and secure. And then you see them with someone else and they also have that energy. And the sister even names like Megan fits in well with the family too. Like,
Yeah, this is rough stuff and pretty shocking, but like they're also having these deep conversations. Haley talking about, I think, just being there for Megan emotionally. It does not seem like Dana's the type to be there for Megan emotionally.
I mean, if we see the way that Dana was in conversation with her choice, then we can kind of see maybe there isn't as much like depth emotionally to provide space for others, because she has a lot of emotions. Like Dana has a lot of emotions, and it seems like maybe her emotions take up a lot of space in their relationship.
For sure. Dana matched up with Mel. These two, it's been physical. It's been physical off rip, which is so wild. Mel was given an ultimatum, and her whole thing, it's been a lot of like childhood stuff of like, she was like, I had to call like 4 different women, mom, and they all left. Like, she also has a chronic illness, so she has some feelings about having anyone basically marry her and sign up for that. She also has a food truck with Mary, which I am honestly personally invested in this food truck business. Like, Mary being like, am I gonna have to get another job and another relationship after this? They've been together 4 years, as long as their food truck.
I'm like, that's wild. To get together and start a business can never be me. First lesbians. Year together,
never. Lesbians.
Lesbians, not only let us be romantically tied, let us be financially tied to each other. Lesbians.
Well, like even Dana and Mel, when they're together, they're talking about how they love spending every single moment. Dana's like, I'm getting worried about being codependent. They're talking about the only time they're separated is when they're in the shower. And yeah, let's talk about Dana and how she takes up so much space in a relationship. This conversation in the park, this woman has known this woman, I don't know, 1, 2 maybe 3 weeks, because that's as long as they have together. And she's saying, well, I think you actually do want marriage and kids, and you're just scared. The way Mel very calmly and smoothly said, look, I never cared about babies when I was younger. And the one thing that came out of my chronic illness that they said, either you gonna die or baby gonna die if you carry it. And I didn't have to grieve, because that's the one thing I never cared about. Dana skipped all the way over that and was like, well, right. The good thing about being a lesbian is you don't have to carry. Did you not hear anything this woman just said?
Literally, no, she didn't, because she's trying to get to her outcome. She's like, what I'm feeling is you want the same thing that I want, and you're just too afraid. And also, their dynamic, even when they were initially dating, it felt like Dana was just like coming up to Mel and like doming her and being like it was a very interesting dynamic of Dana just like being like, you haven't told me that you liked me. It's like, I'm sorry, what is happening here? Like, what is going on?
I think Dana just really, and she's a Gemini, Dana really, I think, needs someone else to be all in on her, but she's not going to be all in on the other person. Like, she just wants those options. So she's just like, hey, Mel, you need to want marriage and kids. And by the way, I also need my original partner to want marriage and kids. And it's like, you can't demand these things out of who do you actually want, instead of just demanding the things you want from them?
Right. Because it's clear that you want people to be all in on you. But how are you? Yeah, because that was the thing about when she walked up to Mel when they were at the bar scene. And she's like, you haven't told me if you like me. And it's like, well, how do you feel about Mel? Do you like Mel? Like, what do you like about Mel? What has connected y'all over these past couple days of dating? Like, what, you know? But no, it's all about me. You need to get to me. You need to want the things that I want. And like the air sign intensity right away. Just for it to quickly float away. You know, the moment she's reminded of her original partner by her family, who clearly seem to love Megan a lot.
You improved in this relationship. We don't know this other person. And then she was like, well, let me get on the phone and cuss out Megan. You ignored her at the pool.
You ignored her for almost three weeks. And then you spiral. And then you're like, you need to give me attention right now because I called you.
I was gagged that Mel even tried to like put pressure on Megan about their situation, because she's just like, well, you're going to be for her no matter what. This is like, Mel has come accustomed to Dana's like toxicity while Megan is like breaking away. And Megan's like, actually, I have been there. I have been there a lot. And I'm starting to learn I don't. Shouldn't be at like the cost of myself. And Mel is now ingratiated in the, but you know how Dana is, therefore you are being the hurtful person for not being the bigger person to come to her. It's like, no.
Yeah, because at that moment when Megan is being like, how am I supposed to know she needs me when she calls me and she's yelling at me and she's telling me she hates me, she's breaking up with me, she's going home? And Mel is like, but you know her. No, we're grown. No. So if you were saying those words to me, okay, I guess I'll see you in Michigan when I get back there. Okay. Yep. Like, yeah, because even Mel at some other point in conversation with Dana being like, I'm a writer. It's like, you're a writer for this woman you've known for about 3 weeks?
And it's not like, your partner, Marie? Marie, who, oh my goodness, who has a business with you. And like, honestly, Dana kind of dragged Mel for a minute in that whole marriage and kids conversation, because she was like, your partner seems like she would want kids. And Mel's like, oh yeah, like I know Marie would be a great mom and she's always nurturing others and stuff like that, and I know she wants kids, but she hasn't brought it up, so we're just going along with it. And it's like, so you're gonna waste this woman's time,
right,
knowing
she's being clear about what she wants?
But then we see later, and it's like, Marie will absolutely let this woman waste her time. She's even talking about
wrinkles to her eyelids. Chow, when the scene in the car, that moment in the car, so it's like, okay, first of all, if I'm sitting around at a table and Haley come say to me, pull me to the side and tell me that she has evidence that my mm-hmm. partner has been sleeping with this other person, that clearly seemed like it was a boundary that mm-hmm. maybe they had discussed because of Marie's anger level around it, which I don't know if that's true or not, but like their conversation in the car, and Mel clearly was lying or wasn't being fully transparent about things. Yep. Just the way Mel was navigating the conversation, you could tell there was more information that she clearly did not want to share. Right. And Marie is just like, you know, I'm going to accept this and I'm going to ride for you. And I'm like, Marie, Why?
Why? Okay. Here's another couple, because like the whole Pilar situation, Marie would have been down, I think, hooking up with AJ if it came to that.
Yeah.
I think. But then the minute AJ said, just letting you know, I had to go see Brittany because Brittany was going through it for some time, that's when Marie realized, oh, these two are in it together. I'm not going to get what I thought I was.
Anything. Yeah.
I like that they were able to be there for each other emotionally, or at least AJ was there for Marie emotionally with things that came up from her past. But it's like now Marie, again, like Pilar, left in the dust while her partner's doing all of this. And like, okay, this car conversation, because Haley, I guess, let slip that there's evidence that Mel and Dana have been hooking up. The show has not explicitly said that they are hooking up, except they have played noises.
Audio
from the bedroom. And honestly, after when Dana comes home and tells Mel about this rumor, they're like, how would they even know? Like, they didn't say in private it never happened. So it absolutely did. They're willing to die with a lie.
They are. They're willing to die with a lie. And my thing is, like, it's on TV, y'all. Like, even if there's not a camera in your face, trust and believe there is a camera person or a mic pack somewhere in the vicinity. You know, just, like, operate from that standpoint. If you're going to go on these people's TV show and have sex with somebody else, be willing to tell your original partner that it happened. Because it's silly to lie on international streaming television. It's weird.
It's so bad. Yeah, people are kind of feeling like this might not have been the first time that Marie and Mel had such a talk, just that Marie was not the most emotional. She was just like, tell me honestly. Like, I'll back you, but tell me honestly. And Mel's just like, no.
We did kiss. Why are you making a face like that if it was just a kiss? Why are you like tensed up in the car with me if it was just a kiss?
Also, why was Dana getting mad at the thought of Marie being upset? Like, or like, oh, I was there. Why didn't she just say something to me? Because you're not her partner. Why would she need to say something to you?
Right. And being like, Haley could have said something to me. And it's like, why would she tell you?
Very suspicious. And like, Mel and Dana just lay on thick. They keep talking about how they can't imagine not having each other in each other's lives after this. So they get matching four-leaf clover tattoos.
My question is, I'm not denying that they had a deep emotional connection, mm-hmm. but I would just love to see the evidence. An opportunity for that was that conversation where Mel is talking about not being able to have kids because she said she had never really talked with anyone about that. And just the way that conversation went, Dana essentially minimized any potential feelings that Mel could have had about her own situation. You know, it's just like back to her own. So I'm just like, y'all talking about y'all gonna be in each other's lives together forever. But if y'all are not able to sleep with each other, what is the depth of your relationship?
Exactly. It would be so physical, and that's pretty much it. What gagged me is that when they returned to their partners, freaking Marie, I think they quickly figured out those tattoos. I don't know if, I wish I knew how they figured it out, whether they both saw the tattoo and then like connected it, or did they say any, like, but it was like in the car going back. So it was immediately a discussion. Yeah. And then Megan said you wanted us to get matching tattoos.
That was so sad. Cause it seems like, I'm assuming they probably had like the Sanoderm or Tegaderm or whatever still on the fresh tattoo. So it was noticeable. Right. And it seems like Mel fessed up about it immediately. Mm-hmm. To Marie that it was a matching tattoo with Dana. Mm-hmm. But it seems like Dana withheld that information and then Megan figured it out, which is even more insult to injury because they had talked about it. I'm like, Dana, is nothing sacred?
No.
Is nothing sacred between you and your partnership with this person?
No, and I think that is even like evidence to Megan of like, this relationship is so not even about Megan as a person. If any, whoever is next to Dana at that very moment, she's going to be pressuring into marriage, kids, and having a matching tattoo.
Right. That's her idea of love. That's what love is, looks like in adulthood.
The playlist?
Not the copy and paste of the, I'm like, you couldn't even.
Now, I am curious about the editing of the choice conversation, because it does make it seem that the minute the proof, the Spotify playlist is explained, all of a sudden they stop denying and they just say, okay, we'll talk about this in private. I want the unedited part, because I wouldn't be surprised if they were still denying, but then they were just like, all right, we gotta wrap this up.
I assumed that it was because they realized clearly everybody could pick up on the fact, mm-hmm, that, you know, it was like, just fess up and just, mm-hmm, let it go, you know.
For sure. And it was very interesting that Haley and Megan, I think, had the theory that when they were having like the ultimatum receiver and giver separate conversation nights, that Dana and Mel went in on the defensive of them. Yeah. And therefore the offensive, yeah, of like, Haley, what are you doing? Or Megan, what, yep, are you doing? So you do not, yep, look at what I'm doing over here.
They did, because it did feel like Dana kind of had smoke for Haley, which felt, mm-hmm, interesting. Cause I'm just like, yeah, because she's like, she started doing the comparisons and it, mm-hmm, was like, of course, like, you know, with AJ doesn't have any worries about what's happening with Brittany, you know, mm-hmm, but like for Marie, that's different. And it's like, why are you bringing up Marie's situation? Talk about your own, again, use I statements. Let's talk about our own feelings and experience and this conversation, and stop trying to like look at other people, what they got going on.
For sure, for sure. So messy. And then at the end, Dana wants to pretend like she's the heartbroken, emotionally abandoned person of like, she straight up asked Megan, did you guys sleep together? Yes. And then she's like, and you the whole time wanted to say this, this, and this. And Megan's like, I'm going to be straight up. I answered and I have feelings, and she's doing all this boo hooing. It's like, you and Mel wrote these long goodbye notes to each other, just talking about how you are forever going to be in each other's lives. Your people have to just accept that. Like, where's that energy?
Yep. Like, I'm just like, Dana, do you know how unhinged it was for you to sit up in Marie's face and tell her that her partner was going to be in your life no matter what, forever? I'm sorry, what? You, what? Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, I don't want to use the word bullying because I, you know, just like the context of like calling a woman of color, or I actually don't, Dana's race, but like, I don't like throwing that around, but it was very much like she telling other grown people, mm-hmm, what they about to do. And I'm like, yeah. you can't tell grown people what to do. Like,
no, especially that. Okay, I don't know what Mel has been telling you, but no matter what, these two people have still been together 4 years and again have a whole business together. Like, Mel's doing a lot, but is she really going to give up her whole entire life for you, Dana? Based on what? Again, Marie's at least not pressing Mel for kids. You are. So I think even then, Mel is going to still go back to where home is and continue to get this money and get everything she's getting out of Marie, who's not really putting up much of a fuss for anything.
And like, let's be real. It's clear that, like, Pilar chose Kyle. Like, Kyle and Pilar chose each other around, mm-hmm. like, a dynamic. Clearly, Dana and Mel have similar energies and personalities, and that's what drew them to each other. And in their partnerships, they seem to like to choose more grounded partners. So I'm like, they were having fun in the time, but it's like, it was clear, even from Dana, it was clear that she did not want to blow up her relationship with Megan, you know? And they're I'm like, stable. It's kind of clear to me that they're stable. They are with they people who stabilize them.
Exactly. They don't want to be emotionally at risk. Like, Dana is devastated because she was like, I'm supposed to be the one who is like stepping out and you have to fight for me. Like, I am the avoidant one. Right.
Yeah.
But why aren't you chasing me? Like, so Megan's like, I'm going to start standing up for myself. What are you talking about?
Period.
That seems to be the theme with some people, because Ashley and Bridget, the conversation that they had on their last night of their thing, they were like, we're going to stand up for ourselves.
I can't. Like, the conversation of people being like, the queer ultimatum, is it just like people need to be poly and go to therapy? Kind of. Sometimes. You know, it's like, Pilar, Bridget, Kyle, Threpple, that could be cute. A cute expiration moment. Yeah. Like, just like, some folks could, like, you know, explore therapy, just be a hot 20-something out here on the town, just having a good time. Like, we don't have to rush towards marriage.
No. But what do we think about AJ and Brittany, since I think we've been talking about them the least because they are the most stable, but they do have things that we should be talking about. AJ said that basically she wants to wait to get married because she doesn't feel financially stable ready, where Brittany is like, I've done it all. I'm a business owner. I'm killing it out here. I'm ready to get married today. And then after their trial marriages, AJ has some new notes about their relationship. And that's, oh, Marie was like home all the time and like cooked me breakfast and like did all this. And like, I kind of miss that. And Brittany's like, yeah, I used to do that. And now I work.
I'm like, AJ, what can you do differently in this relationship? How can you show up differently as a partner, as your relationship has transformed, as Brittany's career has progressed? Instead of talking about you need to make more money to be in a marriage, how about you show up differently as a partner? Because clearly what you're desiring in your partnership requires you to make that change happen, not mm-hmm. putting more work on your partner, this Black femme who clearly already has a lot on her plate.
Clearly. I was like, what? Where are you going with this? And are you not embarrassed? Are you not embarrassed?
And I didn't like the way she was kind of doing this comparison, because it wasn't fair, honestly, because clearly there were some people who work from home who still were working while they were on the show. Yes. And there are other people who have jobs that require them to be on site. So I'm like, Brittany was also cooking a bunch in her original partnership because she didn't have to go to her job like she normally does. And Marie works at a food truck with her partner. So of course she up in the house cooking if that's what they do every day. Like,
exactly. Like, what are you talking about? Marie is not a housewife. She would be working with Mel. Like, their relationship is equally about business and romance. Mm-hmm. So like, again, what?
It's like, AJ, what do you do? Because also, I didn't like, there's this moment when they were dating, and I think she was talking to Marie, and she was like, yeah, I bought a house. And Marie's like, oh, wow. So, like, you are great. You own a house, and, like, you don't want to get married? And then she goes, oh, well, she bought the house. So why did you say you bought the house if Brittany bought the house?
People did.
Why not?
People did notice that. People did notice that. Oh, it's messy.
Either way, Brittany was involved in the equation. So be honest about that.
Yeah. Oh, on Tudum's profiles of the cast, they actually say, they say everyone's first queer crush. And it does give us a look into their types. AJ said Tiana Taylor. We did not have any Tiana Taylors in there. Brittany said Kalani.
No.
Now I need to see what was Marita's. Miley Cyrus and Shay Mitchell.
Got it.
Yep.
Got it.
They needed two Black queer couples at least.
They do. It's always so hard.
It is.
Or they need relationships where, like, more, there are more types of people. I don't know. I think it just, like, there could be another Black femme involved. She doesn't have to be in a relationship with a Black masked person, but I'm just like, we can't just have one Black femme and the cast and that be it. No.
Ooh. Oh, should we have a chaotic queer bi moment of this season drop?
Ooh, chaotic bi moment. Mm. I'm sure someone in that throuple identifies as bisexual. But I'm like, the thruple of it all, the pilar, like Bridget Kyle.
Yeah.
That was some chaotic guy stuff. I'm like, y'all need to be in a thruple.
Yes. Yes. I do feel like Pilar has that for sure. I would want her to be single and fly. Let her wings fly because she's been through so much after these 10 years. I can't wait. And her celebrity, her first crush was Princess Kida from Atlantis. So,
wow. I love the queers whose queer root is an animated character.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're queer. Like, you're like, I see something in that character and I like it. Also,
so
shout out to Pilar, who grew up Catholic, and our Catholic guilt queer babies, I just want to, like, give y'all consensual hugs and, like, cry sessions around, like, religious trauma, because so many of us have been traumatized by religion, but some of us definitely had the religious trauma is super deep.
I'm trying to think. Chaotic vibe. You know what? The scramble that this one Bridget did, this mullet got to work. She said, I have just a few hours before this choice ceremony. I'm not even going to waste my time cussing this person out. No. We have to get to flirting. And what did she do? Lock down a mutual connection for that choice ceremony. And then had what she had to say to AJ. So all the other women could be on a head on the swivel. That's my
curls, aka mullet, went to work. She peaked game, pulled Pilar to the side, and was like, "Do you see what I'm seeing?" And it was like, "Okay, bet, clocking in. Let me line up my next connection and form my speech that I'm going to give at the table about how AJ was out here macking all of us." Listen, I'm just like, AJ, was there a plan though? Like, I do want to know if there is a plan, because there's nothing inherently wrong about, like, lining up multiple connections. But usually people do indicate to the others, like, okay, I have been talking to so-and-so and like, we have been having a good connection, but like, you know, I don't know usually, but AJ was just kind of like, I'm locked in with you. You locked in with me. And then would just like go off and do that same speech with someone else.
Yeah, I don't even know. I should have written down like the reasoning AJ gave for picking Marie, but it's like, it just is what it is. I think it was like, put eggs in every basket and we'll just see what happens. A beautiful black moment of this drop.
Just everything about Brittany. I love her. I think she's so gorgeous. But as someone who aspires to be able to throw myself around a metal pole in pleasers and not break my ankles, there's this moment where she was like getting ready for like the cocktail hour and she's like jumping around in her tweezers and she's like, these are so comfortable. I love them. I was like, wow, I love you so much.
Nice. Nice. For me, honestly, I think I'm just like so emotionally like, yeah, kind of protective of Brittany, but also very aware of how people were like sexualizing AJ, but AJ is also sexualizing themselves in this situation and what that means as the black queer. And honestly, I think Brittany was like rightfully emotional probably after Bridget called out AJ at that choice ceremony and then was like in her head. And I know Marie was very disappointed, but I do like that AJ and Brittany did come together, meet, have their conversations, whatever needed to be said, and then they could then proceed with the rest of the trial marriage the way that they felt comfortable. And it wasn't like Brittany breaking down and crying every other night.
Yeah.
I will say it is a trend with black couples, I think, on the ultimatum, because black women ain't having it. They're like, we need to get together. Yeah, you might be in this little trial marriage, but you're gonna meet me in the parking garage like that one black couple did that one time.
Oh, that's right, that's right. That was the first season, right? Mary
They're like, while these other couples like Dana's gonna pretend like she don't even know who Megan is, the black couples are like, you did not lose your black ass mind just because Netflix is calling. Meet me down here right now, we're gonna have this talk away from the cameras.
The lack of acknowledgement, I'm like, okay, as a fellow air sign, am I capable of doing something like that? Yes. Would I just ignore my partner at the pool because we're doing this experiment? No, that seems a bit much. We both agreed to this. Like,
and like the wildest part of that, it would be almost, it would still be wrong, but I would almost kind of get it if Dana was the one who's given the ultimatum. Because we are seeing people who are given the ultimatum is resentful. They're like, I'm doing this because of you. And then they decide they're going to make out with this new person. And it's like, shouldn't have asked for that ultimatum. No. Dana's the one who gave the ultimatum to Megan.
Yeah, because I feel like what that eventually kind of happened to Megan. She's like, okay, bet you want to do this. You're clearly fully locked in. I think that is what gave Megan permission to cross the physical boundary with Haley, because it was clear that like Dana was in her own little world. So she was like, let me be in my own little world too.
Didn't think, and it's not just payback. And I think that's like even the scarier thing. It would have been because I think when Dana's like, wait, like you guys are actually having like emotions for each other. What does that mean for us and stuff? She's like, oh, like this is really on the line, because it could have been a cute little, we're going to get some exposure on Netflix, but we're coming back together. We're going to have this drama cooked up. But it seems like you for real.
Yes, I'm for real. Megan said, I'm for real. I'm trying to be in an emotionally fulfilling relationship. I'm for real.
You cannot mess with the bulls. The Tauruses, once they get into one direction, it's off to the races. That's that earth.
Full steam ahead. Like, well, I'm locked in on this path.
So it's like, you got one chance. You got one chance to act like you don't know me.
And they've been together for a year and a half, right? And I'm sure the Gemini air sign shenanigans Dana has been on throughout that relationship, and Megan has been there trying to stay grounded with her through it and love her through it. And it was clear that that moment, Megan was like, I'm not having it. That moment followed up by Dana calling her and cussing her out. She was like, bet. I'm done.
I wish they had Megan's side. If they could have split screen that phone conversation so I can hear both. Because when Dana started recounting what Megan was saying, she said that, see ya, after I said I was going to leave. And I was like, I wish I heard that.
Oh, and I'm like, Dana's scared because she heard the certainty. Because I'm like, when an air sign's certain on something, child, it's curtains.
We go with the wind. We're like, oh, like, we got new knowledge? Let me reconsider it now and everything. And now it's like, peace? And she's like, wait, what?
What?
That was your cue to chase me and knock on my door? Because it was Marie who was like, I'll knock on every door in this freaking building to figure out where they are. I'll
go down every hall yelling her name. I was like, Mel is locked in. Mel and Marie, they're together. Because let's be real. It seems like Marie is probably the one who like handles a lot of probably the business side of it. Yep. And Mel handles like the food, the aesthetic, you know? And so they make a great team. I'm like, Mel is not about to let that go for some great sex with you, Dana. So sorry. And you get the good enough sense to know that I don't know if she had the sense, but I think her family saying to her, Megan has improved your life. Being with Megan has made you a better person. Yes. She was like, oh, I am messing up. I'm messing up right now. And it's like, well, I think you just lost your boo to Haley, who Haley's been in a 10-year committed relationship. So she can do commitment easily.
Like and the friends were like, this is wild, but we're seeing it. It's working.
And we like this. We like y'all together. It's like, well, Dana, I think you messed up, girl. I think you messed up.
Messed up big time. So do we want to do predictions of what we think, who's getting engaged, who's breaking up, and all that?
I'm down to do it. How are you feeling?
I kind of want to do it because we might as well. All right, so how are we doing about Pilar and Haley?
I think they're going to break up, but they still will remain friends because of their bond.
Yeah.
They're still going to remain friends and close, but I think they will break up.
Same. And I'm rooting for it. Honestly, again, I'm rooting for Pilar to live her best life after this, because I think she's going to hit the clubs immediately. Honestly. Yes, she's going to be crying and everything. Right. I still think she's going to hit the clubs and get the makeout that she consensually wants and deserves.
Right.
Kyle and Bridget.
They're getting married.
Yeah, right.
That's what I think. I think they're getting married.
I think so. Yeah, okay. So we didn't really talk much about the conversation they had afterwards. Bridget was like, but it was very calm, you know? Bridget was just like, obviously I'm very disappointed. You're saying things that then will make me feel bad and sad. But it's like, at the end of the day, you could tell these two people just love each other at the end of the day.
Yeah, I feel like doing this experiment, all the guilt that Kyle was feeling to them felt like evidence that, like, no, I really do love Bridget and I want to be with Bridget, you know? Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Okay, so then we are going to have our black couple, AJ and Brittany. I think they're getting married. Well, is AJ, I don't think AJ's actually moving towards marriage, though. She's coming up with more reasons or more things on this relationship, but I still think they're going to be together.
Yeah, I think they're going to stay in a relationship. I don't think they're going to get married.
Yeah.
Which also, I want a most people don't. Is that where you?
Yeah, I will add an asterisk is that people get engaged at the end of the ultimatum all the time. Very few have gotten married. Like, I think the one time is when they literally made that couple, Colby and whatever. They like had the wedding on the show. That's the one time
on the show. And then they came to the reunion pregnant. That was wild.
Said, I am locking this down. He never, no one has meant the ultimatum more than that white man.
Because didn't his, I can't remember her name, but she like really connected with her partner, her like chosen partner, right? And he was like, oh no, let me lock it in now.
But then he also tried to find someone else. You remember
that's
that?
That's true.
He was like, well, my type like, isn't in here. And it's like, no, that was not what this was.
That's not the show. That's not the experiment.
What was the plan? He was going to just bring this random woman onto the show and be like, I'm going to start over the ultimatum with this person. Like, sir.
This season is different because no one has left. And usually throughout the seasons, at least one couple leaves. So I was so shocked by that.
At the top. Yes, like,
I was like telling my friends, I was like, when they did the choice ceremony, I was like, more than likely some people, because my friends are like, there are too many people here. There are like six couples. There's so many people. I was like, oh, it's fine. Like, people are going to drop off. None of these lesbians folded. Even Marita and Brittany. Megan did try. Megan was like, I'm ready to go home. And Dana was like, we're staying.
All right. So for Megan and Dana, what are we saying to them?
I think they're going to break up. And I think Megan's going to run off into the sunset with Haley.
I hope so. I hope they do what they were trying to do with like Ray and what's his name. They're like, oh, we'll pay for a trip. And then they just never went on the trip because it was just so messy.
Yeah.
I believe Megan and Haley would go on that trip. I think at the reunion, we would get video clips of that trip. And I want to see every part of it. I would do a special if you followed them on the trip. I will watch that.
Period. I would watch that too. Two Tauruses on vacation in love with each other? Yes.
I want to see all the food content. All right. So does that mean Dana and Mel, is there any shot? No.
I don't think there is. I don't think Mel is going to leave Marie.
No. I think they are too in it. Like, they keep talking about this food truck. Like, that food truck is their child. They're staying for the food truck.
Yes. And it definitely seems to be Mel's baby for sure. Because even when Marie was talking, she's like, if we break up, I'm going to have to get a new job. So it's like clear to her. She's like, if we break up, I'm not going to continue doing this food truck. But it seems like this is Mel's baby. So I'm like, I don't think Mel is going to mess up her good thing with her romantic partner / business partner. And I think also probably, you know, I'm like, I'm sure the intensity of Dana was exciting for the 3 weeks. But also if you have, because even in their conversation in the car, right, Marie wasn't like yelling, cussing, crying, throwing up. She was just like, I heard that you know, like, she's very calm, collected. So I'm just like, and I'm sure
she was almost like a mom. Mel,
she was. And I'm sure Mel was sitting in the room when Dana, or was close by when Dana was on the phone with Megan. And I'm sure she heard how Dana be talking. Yes. And I'm sure she's like, I'm going to stay with my partner that I have, who when I disappoint her, she handles conflict very differently.
Yes, that's true. Less of a headache. And she's like, I'm just going to lie to put off even the little headache I would have. Now, how do we feel about Ashley and Marita?
I think they're going to stay together, not engage, but break up shortly after the show.
That does sound right. I think it could happen exactly like that. I mean, will the producers try to help Ashley out in any way? Like, I could also see them being like, okay, Ashley, Marita keeps talking about romance. Let's plan a date.
Yeah, I could see them trying to support or help. And that could be the thing that boosts them into like choosing each other, not an engagement. I do not think they're going to engage. Unless Ashley has to do something, a big romantic gesture. Because Marina was experiencing Brittany being romantic for 3 weeks. So I'm sure, you know, she's going to want that more coming out of it. I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah. We'll see, but I'm enjoying this season. I'm not like totally put off by like any one person in this. Like Dana's a hot mess, but I'm just like, and it is what it is. We kind of needed at least one hot mess in the season, and
for great television. We need the energy. We need the chaos a little bit.
Yes. And the fact that she is losing in this situation, meaning like losing Megan, she's kind of already getting her just desserts. So I don't even feel like, please don't pile on any of these people. It's really not necessary. They already got it.
They did. And it's like they lived this however long ago. We don't even know when this was filmed, you know? So I'm like,
I think it was so long ago. Like I heard rumblings about a season 2 a while ago. So yeah. I think the reunion's gonna be interesting and like interesting in a weird way of just like this was so long ago that people could be in totally new relationships, honestly, that we don't even know about. So they need to be quicker at turning out Queer Love.
I'm curious what happened around that. Because there were rumblings like a year or two ago, right? Around like Queer Ultimatum. And I feel like I had come across someone's Instagram profile and they were saying they were in season 2 of the Queer Ultimatum before promotion for season 2 of the Queer Ultimatum. So I'm just like, when was this filmed? How long ago has this been? I do think the reunion is going to be interesting for that of like, people are going to be like, I'm so far removed from that.
I have no clue, but also, I don't know. I don't know how many seasons they've also filmed, you know, like, is that person going to be on the show just like on season 3? I don't know. But yeah, we'll be back to talk about next week's drops and the finale. But in between then, Quita, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at @hello_Quita for my hot takes on pop culture and political issues.
Yeah. And I'm your host, Nicole Weaver. You can follow Black by Reality across all socials. I am currently writing and ranking each couple on Love Island USA for Pop High, so you can catch that on Mondays after the weekly dumpings. I am also doing exit interviews for Destination X on Black by Reality, so you can check that out there. And other than that, we'll be back for the Ultimatum. Big Brother 27 is just around the corner, so keep an eye out for content around that. And that's about it. I hope you feel visible and stay visible today. Bye. Do-do-do.